The makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee, the superb blends you know is fresh, present the Chase and Sanborn Hour. And your host, Don Ameche.
This is Don Ameche welcoming you all to another Chase and Sanborn Hour and greeting you for Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, Donald Dixon, and Robert Armbruster and the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra. Tonight it is our pleasure to extend our very warmest welcome to our two special guests, Josephine Hutchinson and Misha Auer. We hope you will all enjoy our show and that throughout the week you remain our friends as well as friends of Chase and Sanborn. Donald Dixon cuts loose with Cole Porter's rousing song, Blow, Gabriel, Blow. All right, Donald, let her blow.
There's Gabriel, Gabriel playing, Gabriel, Gabriel saying, will you be ready to go when I blow my horn? Oh, blow, Gabriel, blow, go on and blow, Gabriel, blow. I've been a sinner, I've been a scamp, but now I'm willing to trim my lamps. Oh, blow, Gabriel, blow. I was low, Gabriel, low. Mighty low, Gabriel, low. But now since I have seen the light, I'm good by day and good by night. So blow, Gabriel, blow. Once I was headed below. Once I was headed below. When I got to Satan's door, I heard you blowing on your horn once more. So I said, Satan, farewell. And now I'm all ready to fly. Yes, to fly and higher. Cause I've gone through brimstone and I've been through fire. And I've heard my soul and my heart too, to climb up the mountain top and start to blow, Gabriel, blow. Go on and blow, Gabriel, blow. I want to join your happy band and play all day in the promised land. So blow, Gabriel, blow. Blow, Gabriel, blow. Go on and blow, Gabriel, blow. I've been a sinner, I've been a scamp, but now I'm willing to trim my lamp. So blow, Gabriel, blow, Gabriel, blow. Go on and blow, Gabriel, blow, Gabriel. I want to join your happy band and hear you playing in the promised land. So blow, Gabriel, blow.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. See the stars for a dime. Just a dime. That's all it costs. Just a dime. Oh, twinkle, twinkle, little star. Don't just wonder what they are. 10 cents ain't so very high. So spend a dime and see the sky. Hurry, hurry, hurry.
Just a moment. Oh, hello, Bergen. Charlie, what are you doing with that stovepipe there?
That ain't a stovepipe, Bergen. That's a telescope.
No, it is.
Yeah.
You sure?
Well, I ought to know. I built it myself.
Well, that's all right. Oh, it's a telescope.
Yes. Oh, Mr. Ameche.
Yes, yes.
Oh, well, there you are. Say, how would you like to look at the stars for a dime?
So, what do we got here, Edgar? A young astronomer?
Well, Don, I think this is the result of taking Charlie up to the planetarium the other night to see Mars.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it costs us a quarter for a lecture. And I'm giving you the same thing for only 10 cents.
Is that so? Same thing?
Yeah, same thing.
Same telescope?
Yeah, well, a reasonable facsimile there, all.
Is it a good telescope, Charlie?
Yes, sir. Why, on a clear day, you can see through it.
Well, how far can you see?
How far? How high is up? The sky is the limit with this thing.
Well, that's all the best of them can do.
That's right. It only costs you 10 cents. Children under two, half price.
Charlie, how can you set yourself up as an astronomer? Why, what do you know about the stars?
Well, I can read. And I can read them like a book, too.
Oh, I see. Can you locate the Big Bear?
Yes, indeedy. Yeah. The Big Bear, the Little Bear, Goldilocks, and the three little fishes. They're all there, they're all there. For the small sum of 10 cents, you can see them with your own eyes. Hurry, hurry, hurry.
Oh. Hey, look, Charlie, can I see the Milky Way through your telescope?
Yes, Mr. Meachie, you can. Yes, sir, the view is guaranteed grade A.
How much is that going to cost me?
Well, it's 10 cents to see the Milky Way, see? And yeah. 2 cents back on the empty bottle. And a lecture thrown in, too.
Yeah, well, I'm sure your lecture would be a new slant on astronomy.
Yes, it probably would, Doc.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed, yes. Be sure of that, yes, 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 yes. Oh, yes, well, it's a fascinating study. Very few of us understand it, really.
Well, look, tell me, Professor McCarthy, you don't mind if I call you Professor, do you?
Oh, not at all, not at all, not at all. I've been called worse than that.
Well, look, can you tell me what causes an eclipse of the sun?
Well, that's a cinch, my pupil. An eclipse, astronomically and planetorially speaking. Or is that too deep for you?
No, that's all right. Neither one of us understands it.
That about sums it up, yeah.
Yeah.
Astronomically and planetorially speaking, we students of the celestial find that... what was your question now?
What causes an eclipse of the sun?
Oh, yes, yes, a good question it is, too.
Yeah.
Well, the eclipse, yes. That's because the sun is stymied by the moon, you see. Astronomically speaking.
Oh, I see. Say, you know, Charlie, there was once a rumor that the moon is made of green cheese. Now, what do you think of that, Professor?
Pay no attention to it. They say the same thing about my lecture. but that's life.
Well, look, Professor, tell me, when you were up at the planetarium, could you see Mars very clearly?
Well, now, I'll tell you, pupil. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and the astronomer there, that is my colleague, you know, he showed me, Jupiter, too, you know.
Oh, really?
Yes, he did, yes.
Is there any life on Jupiter?
No, there isn't, no.
And why is that, Professor?
Well, I'll tell you. You see, I wouldn't want it to get around, you know. But the air is so thin up there on Jupiter that the inhabitants have to live someplace else, sir. That's something to the...
That's a pretty thin explanation.
Yeah, but does it hold water?
No.
Well, then let's run on to another subject. Well, at the present time, we're more interested in Mars than in any other planet, aren't we?
Yes, I've read a good deal about its being close to the Earth. How close is it, Edgar, do you know?
Well, Mars, now I guess it's about, it's around, how close is it, Charlie?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that, Edgar. As a matter of fact, it isn't close at all. Oh, it's a vicious rumor that's getting around, that's all. Yes, you can't really appreciate how far it is unless you look in my telescope.
All right, then, how far is it?
How far is what?
Well, Mars.
Oh, how far is it to Mars?
That's the idea, yes.
Well, from where?
Well, from here. From here, yes.
To Mars, from here,
yes.
Well, let's see, that's about, how you going, by car? Well,
all right. Well, all right, suppose we're going by car.
All right, let's see. All right, here. Now, I'll tell you what you do. Mars.
Yes, Mars. Yes. You know where Glendale is? Yes.
Well, don't go there. The best thing to do is... is to make a U-turn before you start.
I see.
And then, of course, one good turn deserves another, so make another turn.
Yeah.
Now, where are you?
I don't know.
Well, where am I?
Well, I don't know. Haven't the faintest idea.
Fine. Are there any other questions now?
Yes, Charlie. How far is it to Mars?
Aren't we going around in circles here? Well, that's astronomy for you.
Never mind that. How far is it?
Well, I'll tell you, it'll take you about 20 years by train if you walk.
Well, I know that's okay.
But if you'd only spend a dime and look in my telescope, you wouldn't have to bother going there.
You know, they say that you can actually see snow and green vegetation on Mars.
That's right, that's right. Of course. That's true. Yes, indeed.
Can you see plant life on it through your telescope?
Yes, indeed. Why, yes, their corn is a little late up there this year.
You mean you actually see corn on Mars?
Yes, actually see corn, yes, indeed. Why, the other night, Mr. Avicii, the other night I brought it so close with my telescope that I could see two people on Mars having coffee in the garden.
You're sure it was coffee?
Oh, yes, yes. I could even see the date on the bag.
Professor, you must have a powerful telescope there.
Why, it is so powerful, Mr. Amici. It is so powerful. You can see the dog star wagging his tail.
How about Capricorn the goat? Can you see that?
See it? You can smell it.
Well, if it brings the distant planet so close, what does it do when you look at the moon? That's much nearer to the Earth.
Well, as a matter of fact, Mr. Amici, it brings the moon so close that if you want to look at it, you have to move the telescope back a few feet.
Darling.
That's right, that's right.
There is nothing in popular music so typically American, perhaps, as the blues song. It's hard to explain the hold these melancholy ditties have on us, but the spell is still there. And Dorothy L'Amour helps to make it even more binding as she sings an old-timer. One of the best. I've got a right to sing the blues.
I've got a right to sing the blues. I got a right to feel low down. I got a right to hang around, down around the river. A certain man in this old town keeps dragging my poor heart around. All I see for me is misery. I got a right to sing the blues. I got a right to moan and sigh. I got a right to sit and cry down around the river. I know that deep blue sea will soon be calling me. It must be love, say what you choose. I got a right to sing the blues. La da dee da da, da da dee dee. I got a right to hang around, down around the river. A certain man in this town keeps dragging my poor heart around. All I see for me is misery. I got a right to sing the blues. I got a right to moan and sigh. I got a right to sit and cry down around the river. I know that deep blue sea will soon be calling me. It must be love, say what you choose. I got a right to sing the blues.
Dottie, did you hear that broadcast when Rudy Vallee was in New York and Tyrone Power was in Hollywood and Sonja Henie was in Norway?
No, but I heard about it. They talk to each other just as if they're in the same room.
You know, it was wonderful when you stop to think of it. Actually, Ty in Hollywood and Sonja in Oslo, Norway, did a scene together. Sounded just as if they were standing side by side.
Well, why don't you and I do something like that?
Well, as a matter of fact, Dottie, our show does do something like that every week. Right now, any radio set that's tuned to this program hears just you and me. And in a minute now, lots of those same sets, tuned to the same station, we'll hear somebody else talking, maybe thousands of miles away from here.
That's really surprising, isn't it?
Yeah, it takes a lot of radio engineering. But it's interesting, and it's worthwhile. You see, in every section of the country, there's some special news about Chase and Sanborn Coffee. So an announcer is waiting in that section, and in a minute he'll throw a switch and tell his neighbors what's going on in their own part of the country. So if everyone is listening carefully, we'll start now.
There's plenty going on near us, Don. This is Bill Spargrove announcing a new arrival in this neighborhood. It's Chase and Sanborn Dated Coffee in the new silver package. The grocers around here are among the first ones in America to get it. Some of the cities that I'm speaking to today are hearing about this new improvement for the very first time. Other cities have had a few weeks to try it. And the verdict is, it's great. Wherever it's been on the market, thousands and thousands of people have switched to it, and it's winning more new friends every day. And why shouldn't it? Inside that silver package is one of the world's very finest blends. Perfectly delicious coffee. It's roasted in the special oven we've built nearest to you, so you know it's fresh, the way you want it. Now, people don't like stale or rancid-tasting coffee any more than they like spoiled milk or eggs. So, naturally, they turn to coffee they're sure is freshly roasted. Chase and Sanborn Dated Coffee. You can tell it's fresh by the date right on the silver package. It shows when that coffee was delivered to your grocer, freshly roasted. And one more thing, the price is very reasonable. You don't pay a single penny more for Chase and Sanborn Dated Coffee in the silver package. Try it. Serve it hot or as iced coffee. And see if your family doesn't tell you it's absolutely the last word in fine-tasting coffee.
We are very happy to welcome to the Chase and Sanborn Hour Josephine Hutchinson, a young lady of real talent and one whose charm and delightful personality make her visits especially enjoyable. We have always admired Miss Hutchinson's work, both on the stage and on the screen. And it is my pleasure this evening to appear with her in an original radio sketch written by Edward James, presenting Miss Josephine Hutchinson in Hometown.
Scene is a small town in the Middle West, usually stolid and sleepy, but today alive with excitement. Bob Wilson and his wife are coming back for a visit. Bob Wilson, the hometown boy who made good. A crowd has gathered around the station, and the train can be seen in the distance.
Here she comes, boy. Again?
Holding in money now, up to his ears in servants and things.
Well, maybe he ain't the same now. Maybe he's stuck up.
Oh, no. Not Bob Wilson. You don't know him. His wife's a hometown gal, too. Jenny Clark.
Hey, look. There they are.
Well, by golly, if Bob ain't gone and done it up blue. Look, it's a private car.
Sure enough, it is.
Hey, Bob.
Hiya, Jim Burke. Well, I'll be down. Wait for me, Jim. I'm coming right out.
Yeah, you couldn't move me from here. I'll be waiting.
Come on, Jenny. Let's get out of this train.
Gosh, the old hometown looks good. Hurry up, dear. Hurry up.
Well, I'm not quite ready yet. Why don't you go ahead, Bob?
What, without you? Nothing doing. This is my homecoming, and my wife comes with me.
Well, I'm not as keen on this homecoming as you are.
Oh, sure, yeah. Look, there's Luke Sewell and Jack Bradford. Oh, look, there's Peggy Evans, a great pal of yours once, wasn't she?
I don't remember.
What?
I don't want to remember. Does that make it clear? I don't care if this is my hometown. It's narrow and small and provincial, and so are the people in it.
Well, I'm one of those narrow, small, provincial people, Jenny.
But that's different. You've changed. You've advanced yourself, and so have I. We're not like these people. I don't know why we ever came back here at all.
Well, I do. I had a very definite reason for wanting to come back. Are you ready now, Jenny?
Bob, please. I've asked you not to call me that ridiculous name. Can't you remember to call me Jennifer?
Sorry.
Well, let's go. Might as well get this over with.
Hey, Jim!
Hi, Bob! Hi, Jenny!
Hello, everybody. Jim, it's good to see you. Look, let's get someplace where we can talk, shall we?
Sure. Right here. Come on.
All right.
You old son of a gun. Haven't changed a bit, have you?
Say, you remember Jennifer, don't you?
Sure. Hi, Jenny.
I'm very well, thank you. And the name is Jennifer. Bob, if you don't mind, I'm going back to the car.
Oh, not now. Why, you haven't seen the old town for 10 years.
I saw quite enough of it then, thank you.
Getting kind of chilly around here, ain't it?
I'm going back, Bob.
Just a minute, Jen. Look, Jim, can I see you later?
Sure thing, Bob. I live right back at the new church.
Oh, that's fine, fine. I'll find you. I'll see you later.
Okay, boy. So long.
So long.
I'm sorry, Bob, but I just couldn't stand that little man.
That's all right, it's all right. Sit down, won't you? A few things you and I have to talk over.
What do you mean?
Jenny, there's something I have to tell you.
Oh?
And it isn't going to be easy.
Bob, first let me ask you something.
What is it?
You never cared about this town. You thought it was small and narrow, too. What made you come back, Bob? Did you have another reason?
Perhaps.
Is it... Oh, Bob, I can't say it.
Say what?
Well, the thing that I've been worried about ever since we planned this trip. You didn't want to come back just to see these people, the Jim Burkes, I mean, did you?
No, I didn't.
You came back to see someone else. It's another woman, isn't it?
Well, I...
You've got to tell me, Bob, please. Is that why you came back? Is there someone else?
Yes, Jenny, there is.
I see.
Well, it's not what you think, honestly. It's kind of hard to explain, but... Well, I had to come down here to see her again, if I could. That's all, Jen.
Do I know her?
Yes, it's someone we both knew years ago.
Well, that's that.
I think I'm going to meet this girl later. I want you to be with me.
Oh, Bob, you don't mean that. You can't.
Yes, I do. I know I'm asking a big thing, but you must help me, Jen. You've got to.
Does she mean so much to you, then?
So much.
All right, Bob. If that's the way you want it, I'll go with you.
Now, this is the place, Jenny.
Here? By the brook?
Yes, you'll come here. Let's sit down on the bridge, shall we?
All right. Fix your coat for me, will you please? I'll sit on that.
Right. There you are. She should be along in a little while. I hope she will, anyway. Are you comfortable?
Oh, yes, I'm fine, thank you. Oh, what a funny world. A few hours ago, I was safe and secure. Mistress of a fine home, respected by the community, loved by my husband. Oh, no. I wasn't, was I? I keep forgetting that you don't love me.
Jenny, I do love you. I've always loved you.
But you love this other girl more, is that it?
That's it, yes.
After all we've shared together?
Yes. Jenny, we have shared a lot. You worked hard to make me a financial success. But there's one thing you've overlooked. I haven't been happy.
But you have a fine reputation, fame and wealth, and all my love. Isn't that enough?
It's hard for me to say this, Jen, but... No, it isn't enough. I didn't want fame and wealth. I only wanted happiness.
I thought I gave that to you, Bob. Oh, well... Nice and quiet here, isn't it?
Yeah. Gee, it's grand, isn't it? You know, I think I'll take my shoes off and let my feet hang in the water.
But, Bob, you can't put your feet in that water. It's cold.
Sure, that's why I want to do it. Ah, oh, that's better. You know, it's one of the reasons I came back, to put my feet in the stream. Won't you try it, Jen? It's really wonderful.
Don't be absurd.
This other girl would.
Bob. Please.
We used to come here on hot summer afternoons, just the two of us. We'd sit here by the hour, make plans. Big plans. We were going to find something together. Something very rare. Complete, absolute happiness.
Yesterday I would have said that I'd known that happiness, but now... Now I don't think you can have it.
Oh, yes, you can. But you can't trade it for wealth and fame like you and I did. That isn't a good bargain.
You're not very kind.
I'm not trying to be kind, Jenny. I'm trying to clear things up between us once and for all. And you can't do that with kindness. Just this once in my life, I want to be completely honest with myself. And with you. We have to, Jenny, to get at the root of our trouble. Don't you see?
Yes, I do, Bob. And I see many other things, too. Things I should have seen before. Your smile, for instance. I hadn't noticed that your smile is gone. It's forced now. Once it was a wonderful smile. I've changed that, haven't I?
No, Jen, not you. That is not exactly you. It's just the things we've had to do, the people we've had to know. It's the life we've had to lead. It's false, hypocritical. It's like being a puppet.
Bob.
Yes, Jenny?
I thought I'd rather die than face this. But now I'm glad. I'm glad. I'm seeing things in a different light, Bob. As though, well, something I've been afraid of for a long time has finally happened, and I'm no longer afraid. Can you understand, I wonder?
Yes, I can, dear. Oh, gee, it's so grand to sit and talk to you like this. We haven't been this close to each other for a long time.
No, we haven't. Oh, Bob, couldn't we make a go of it? Try again, I mean?
Well, I'm not sure, Jen. It all depends on...
On the other woman?
Yes.
You know, I'm not afraid of her anymore. What's she like, Bob?
Well, she's not like you, Jen. She's not sophisticated, smart, and worldly. She's very simple and sweet.
Oh.
Her hair's brown. Just a country brown. Her eyes are brown, too. Sort of a nice, warm brown. And they shine. They don't have that dull, empty look.
Bob.
This other girl, she'd sit on this bridge with me and take her shoes off and let her feet dangle in the water. Just like you used to do, Jim. Just exactly like you used to do.
Yes. I did that, didn't I? But it was so long ago.
No, not so long ago, Jenny. Only 10 years.
Oh, Bob. What a blind fool I've been.
Please, please, Jenny, dear, please don't cry.
And you love me all the time. Like this.
Oh, there's never been anyone but you, dear. The you that used to be.
Oh, Bob. Bob. Will you do something for me?
Why, sure. What is it, dear?
Will you take my shoes off? I want to wade in the brook.
This is Don Amici and the Chase and Sanborn Hour continues. Indicative of the versatility and genius of the composer Leoncavallo is his opera Pagliacci, of which he wrote not only the splendidly constructed libretto, but also the stirring music. Donald Dixon sings the thrilling prologue to the opera.
Presento d'autore. In parte vorrei prendere il vecchio santo per voi. Di nuova in via mi.
It's fair weather when good fellows get together, and it's a holiday when Misha Auer comes to town. The mad mujik of You Can't Take It With You, East Side of Heaven, and 100 other comedy films, he comes to us this evening with a load of sunshine. Misha Auer. Misha, it's a pleasure to have you back with us.
Yeah, indeed it is. I trust that life is treating you well these days?
Life, bah. Don't mention that stuff in my presence.
Well, Misha, I...
Why, pooey on life.
Well, now, is that any kind of an attitude?
Is this any kind of life? Listen, would you believe it? A week ago, I was the happiest man in the world.
No.
Of course, it's a sad world, but I was happy. In a desolate sort of way.
And now?
I am desolate.
In a happy sort of way, I suppose.
Happiness, my friend, is a delusion. The way I feel right now, I'd like to go out and get good and deluded. You know, in Russia, we have an old Russian proverb.
Show me a happy man, and I will show you a gibbering idiot. This is an old Russian proverb. They're debunked, these old Russian proverbs.
Well, look, tell me, what was it that brought about this great, if temporary, happiness of yours?
Love.
Love?
What else?
Well, was it anyone in particular, or just love for your fellow man?
My fellow man? I wouldn't even let the bum in the house. No, with me, it's only one love. My beautiful Krasavitsa Katinka.
Krasahukawatska?
Krasavitsa Katinka, which is in Russian, Krasavitsa Katinka.
Yeah, I figured it would be.
Ah, my Katinka. We could have been so sad together. Ah, well, it's nyatny, nyatny. Only my life. That is all. You know what they say about love in Russian?
An old proverb, no doubt, huh?
No doubt, wise guy. They say love comes like a thief in the night and goes off with the silverware.
Oh, that's good. That's very good.
Confidential, it stinks. Yeah. Too superficial, too gay. Life is not gay.
Oh, I don't know. It's all in the way you look at it.
Life, my friend, is a mousetrap. And love is the cheese. One little nibble and it cracks down on you.
Old Russian proverb?
No, the truth. From headquarters. Now, where was I?
In love.
Ah, yes, with my beautiful Krasavitsa Katinka.
Yeah, I believe you mentioned her before.
She's so beautiful, I thought I would mention her again, if you don't mind.
Oh, not at all, not at all, not at all.
But the very sound of her name was like the singing of the birds to me. Katinka. Gavish. Ngovskaya.
Well, what was she like, this Miss, what's her name?
I thank you to keep her name out of this.
I'm trying to. I'm simply asking what she was like. What did she have that other women didn't have?
A beautiful... You mean what women haven't got? Other women. Well, she had a beautiful right hook. And how she would beat me. And how I would love her. I shall never forget the first time I met her. It was in the Shchastlivoye Droshkeye Zvozhcheskoye Sobranie.
Now, what's that?
The happy hack driving picnic. That's a restaurant. I was chef there. I remember she looked up at me with those big eyes of hers, and she said to me in a voice like sad music, I am so hungry I could eat a horse. Imagine, horse meat when she could have my charcoal. So I said to her, Krasavitsa, it so happens we're fresh out of horse.
So she took the shock,
No. She knocked me right over the samovar into the pastries. And from then on, it was nip and tuck, swing and duck. What a woman!
Case of love at first fight, huh?
By me, it was love. By Katinka, who knows? Exercise, maybe. She would slap me around one day and forget me the next. Oh, I was so slap unhappy, and it was all so wonderful.
Yeah, it must have been.
There was nyatn I wouldn't do for that girl. Nyatn. I make for her my greatest dish, Misha's Matzah's Meringue, which I named for myself personally.
Misha's Matzah's Meringue?
Wait, I'll tell you how it was made. Then you see for yourself how can she resist me. First goes in 1/4 cup of vodka. Next, 1 pound dough. Next, 1/2 cup vodka. 2 tablespoons sugar. A pinch of salt. Another pinch of salt. What's the difference? Then goes in 2 full cups of vodka. Then a little bit of shortening. Then goes in the rest of the vodka. Then you pour off the vodka.
And bake what's left?
No, and drink the vodka.
And even that didn't get her?
No, it got me. I never saw her again. I thought I would never see anything again.
Well, so it goes. That's life again.
What am I telling you? That's life and you can have it. I feel so sad about Katinka. I have a little song about her and about life. It's a very sad song. It's abominable. Maybe you wouldn't want me to sing it, hmm?
Well, what's the difference? After all, the way things have been going...
Sure. Sure, you're right. What can we lose? We'll all be dead in the morning.
My sweet Katinka, oh, where can she be? I loved her so,
How could she go? Who thought Katinka would pack up on me? It was the child's break, I know. She would Kazatsky with me every day, but she went Natsky from hey, hey, wait, wait. That Natsky music just led her astray, and I lost Katinka that way. She loves vodka, I love vodka, so what can we do? She's a Natka from Slobodka, and she says she's true. Ay, 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 ay. So all the boatmen told how she could tear up a herring with me. Oh, how I miss her, oh, gee. Ay, 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 ay. Ramsarica, Sasa. Hey!
There's nothing new under the sun, they say, and there's not much that's new under the moon. Balconies are a little harder to come upon than they were in the old days, and serenades are rarer. But love is what it always was, and a good thing, too. So, Robert, a little music, a new moon, and an old serenade.
I just stood there and looked at you as the violins play. A new thrill, we were both so afraid. But the moon and the melody seemed to come to our aid. Heaven gleamed in a rose-colored light. And the music seemed to be saying, I'm yours tonight. Your heart called, and I gladly obeyed. In the spell of a new moon and an old serenade. Stood there and looked at you as the violins play. A new thrill, we were both so afraid. But the moon and the melody seemed to come to our aid. Heaven gleamed in a rose-colored light. Saying I'm yours tonight. Your heart calls, and I gladly obey. In the spell of a new moon and an old serenade.
Miss Hutchinson?
Yes, Charlie?
I want to say that I've always, you know, enjoyed your acting, and I thought that you were especially good in the play you just did.
Well, you do?
Yes, yes.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. I always say that. The old oil, you know, I don't know.
I know you have a habit of rewriting plays, Charlie. Mm. I suppose you've given this one your master stroke.
Yes, I have, yes. But I'm still not satisfied with it.
Well, but Charlie, you never can tell whether a play is good or bad until you've tried it out on an audience.
Well, when I was east a few weeks ago, it was presented by a summer stock company in Skowhegan.
Oh. And didn't the people like it?
Well, I think they would have enjoyed the second act if we could have gotten that far.
You mean there was some adverse criticism?
Oh, my goodness, yes, yes, indeed. Even the people on the free list asked to have their names removed.
Charlie.
Oh, yes, Mr. Hour, yes.
I've read the play you wrote.
Oh, yes?
Yes.
And what do you think of it?
Well, I don't know how to express myself in English, but confidentially, it...
That's enough, that's enough.
Well, I'm sure your play's good, Charlie.
Oh, it is, Miss Hutchinson, it really is. It's just filled with action. Oh, such excitement and such pathos.
Such a business. Pui.
Pui on you too, Mauer. Set the scene, Mr. Bannon, will you?
We will now unravel Charlie McCarthy's homespun drama.
Uh-huh.
As the curtain rises, we find Charles McCarthy and the Grand Duke, Misha Snobsky, on a fast train nearing the station of Kranzafrans, Kansas.
Hometown.
A marvelous thing, this rail traveling.
Yes, it is. They say it's even more comfortable inside the cars.
What is the town we are coming to?
Why, it's Kranzafrans, Kansas.
Kranzafrans?
Yes.
I never heard of it. Is it a big place?
No, no. The train only stops there for laughs. It's, But it's my home.
The best is not too good for the Grand Duke Snobsky.
Well, maybe you're right. Hey, are you really a Grand Snob? I mean, a Dob Snobsky is... are you really a Grand Duke?
Am I really a Grand Duke?
Yeah, well, that's pretty near the same question I asked you, isn't it?
When I was in Russia, I had 20 suits of clothes. I rode in a carriage with 6 horses.
Carriage with 6 horses, yeah. Didn't that make it a little crowded?
A little. Yeah. And every afternoon, my orchestra would play for me, and I would sit and have vodka.
Oh, well, what do you think of that?
And look at me now.
Do I have to?
Look at my shoes. Why, the soles are so thin. If I stepped on a lightning bug, I would get a hot foot.
Oh.
Look, the train is stopping.
Well, we stopped anyway. That's the Amherst special. Well, here we are. Oh, there's Sheriff Dixon. Oh, nice of him to come down to greet me. Hello, Sheriff.
Hello. I've been suspecting you.
Yeah. Is that really Dixon? What have you got to say, Sheriff?
I'll give you 2 hours to get out of town.
Ain't he nasty? But, Sheriff, you don't remember me, do you? I'm Charlie McCarthy.
Oh, yeah, so you are. I'll give you 1 hour to get out of town.
Oh. I think he knows you.
Now, Sheriff, I've reformed. I'm a successful man.
Yeah? What do you do?
Well, I'm a coin collector.
Is that so?
Yes. Which reminds me, could you let me have a dime?
Make it 2 dimes. We both have to eat.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want anything to do with you fellas, and I don't want to see you around here.
You even fooled me, Dixon. There's nothing like Kranzafrans for real hospitality.
Let's walk down the financial district.
Yeah. See, it's great to see the old faces I used to shake hands with. Oh,
look who lives over there. See, an old friend of mine. Maybe you've heard of him. Old Silas Don't Got an Ichi. Let's see if he's in. Hello, Si.
Hello, how's everything? Goodbye.
Boy, I thought we'd never get away from him.
Look, who is this lovely lady, this dream coming down the street?
Oh, her. I know her. Pardon me, young lady, but isn't your face familiar?
Well, it ought to be. It's mine.
Yes. Oh, yes, of course, naturally, yes. But aren't you the lady who's known as Lemu?
Oh, shoo.
Well, I'm Charlie McCarthy.
Well, there ain't very much I can do about that.
Yeah. Say, what's your brother doing now?
Oh, he mops floors at the hotel.
Oh, still the same old floor flusher, eh?
My dear lady, you are so charming, I would like to suggest dinner at your house tonight.
Sir, do you know who I am?
No, but I'll try and find out for you.
Dinner at my house. Why don't you fellas get work? You know, hard work never killed anybody.
That's where you are wrong. I lost two wives that way.
Ah, Lemu, you're so beautiful.
Oh, do you really think so, Charlie?
Yes, I do. Uh-huh. If I only had enough money to marry on.
What would you do if you had enough money to marry on, honey child?
I'd travel.
Say, Amici, do you happen to remember the picture Alexander Graham Bell?
Why, yes, Dixon. Now that you mention it, I have a hazy recollection.
Well, didn't good old Alexander have something to do with radio?
Oh, he certainly did. They used his ideas in a lot of radio equipment. And way back in 1924...
You going to tell me a story, Daddy?
Yes, my lad. Once upon a time, there was a famous musician who was playing the piano in front of the microphone for the first time. And he thought it worked like a telephone. So after he got through, he stepped up to the microphone and said, "How did you like it?" and listened for an answer.
But nothing come out.
No. So the man got mad and stuck out his tongue at the mic.
I suppose that made him feel a whole lot better.
Oh, of course it did. Well, people know more about radio today, but there's nobody except a few engineers who really understand all the inside workings.
Such as what?
Well, such as what's going to happen now. One minute, we're speaking on a big network, all hooked up together. The next minute, right in the middle of our show, the network is unhooked. Then local stations or small local networks start giving local news.
Gee, you know everything, don't you, Daddy?
Quiet, sonny boy. In the east, in the west, in the south, and in a lot of separate cities, the news about Chase and Sanborn coffee is different. So in each section, we tell the facts that mean the most to the people there. That's what we're going to do now. Gentlemen, throw the switches.
The local news in this quarter is about the Chase and Sanborn dated coffee that comes in the new silver package. Some of you have already seen it, tried it, and made up your minds that from now on, this is the coffee for you. And then again, some of you are hearing this news for the first time because that new silver package has just come to your town. If you haven't seen it, look for it tomorrow. Take it home and try it out. We think you're going to find it just about the finest coffee you ever tasted, rich and mellow as it can be, just full of delicious flavor. A fine blend, freshly roasted, and rushed to your grocer by our fast trucks. The coffee you get is roasted right near you, and the date your grocer receives it, freshly roasted, is marked on every silver package. Fresh coffee is what you want, of course, because coffee can go bad if it's old, just like milk or eggs. But you'll never get any stale, rancid taste in dated coffee. Our dating system just makes it impossible. And here's some more wonderful news. The price of dated coffee in the new silver package has not gone up a bit. So ask for Chase and Sanborn dated coffee when you buy groceries tomorrow. Serve it hot and serve it iced. And then you'll see for yourself how delicious coffee can really be.
Beatrice Fenner has expressed the beautiful simplicity of a child's prayer in When Children Pray. Donald Dixon sings it.
When children pray, all lovely things more lovely grow to be. All beauty grows more. tenderness alike becomes more deep. New forces stir and waken from the sleep. When children play, all growing things rejoice, and life's eternal hymn grows more profound. The love of all mankind more closely bound. When children pray,
come to the end of another Chase and Sanborn hour. An hour made possible by your purchases of Chase and Sanborn coffee. That's the best way of telling us you enjoy our show. To Donald Dixon, who leaves shortly on an extensive concert tour, I express the sentiments of the entire cast and of all friends of Chase and Sanborn in wishing him the greatest success. Next week, we'll have the band out to welcome an old friend back to Chase and Sanborn. None other than Nelson Eddy. It'll be swell to see Nelson again, and swell to have him here for these Sunday evening gatherings. We'll all be on hand for the reunion, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, and Robert Armbruster and the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra. Our special guest will be John Blondell. Until then, this is yours sincerely, Don Amici, saying good word.
Millions of people are visiting the New York World's Fair or the San Francisco Golden Gate International Exposition. And among the visitors in San Francisco, tomorrow and Tuesday, August 7th and 8th, will be Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. For Charlie is going to preside as mayor of Treasure Island, and Edgar is going along to make him behave. I know that all of you who can will want to pay your respects to Mayor McCarthy at the Music Hall on Treasure Island. And then right nearby, visit Standard Brand's colorful House of Hospitality. At the New York World's Fair, don't miss the magnificent Standard Brand's building, featuring our great free outdoor marionette show with puppets of Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Don Amici, and Dorothy L'Amour. Come in. You're always welcome. Next week, another big Chase and Sanborn hour. John Blondell, Don Amici, Nelson Eddy, Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, and Robert Armbruster and the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra. Heard on this program, Blow Gabriel Blow from Anything Goes and The Big Show by Jerome Kern. This is Jim Bannon speaking for the makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.